Today, we're continuing our series on leadership. A few weeks ago, we had our 8th annual Messenger Cup. We got to hear from 2 phenomenal leaders, and I want to share their wisdom with you. This is the second part of a 2-part series that Bob Harrison spoke on. So I really hope you enjoy the rest of this message.
So I wanted to challenge you today with just 2 things in the few minutes I have with you. The first thing I wanted to challenge you with as leaders is don't get satisfied where you are. God wants to do so much more through you, through your life. Maybe you have all your needs met. Maybe you have all the toys that you want to have. But life isn't just about you. Life is about how you can make a difference to others. Life is how you can be a blessing in multiple generations. And it's so easy just to say, I've got it. And we slow down and we park. But I love the prayer of Jabez. Jabez says, God, enlarge my territory. God, enlarge my territory. And I know he's talking about land, but I also recognize that change begins in the invisible before it shows in the visible. So you have to expand in the invisible before you expand in the visible. So when he's saying, Lord, enlarge my territory, that's going to involve God, enlarge my thinking. God, enlarge my believing. God, enlarge my expectation. And so I want to challenge you today. As you leave here, start thinking about, for these next 6 months of this year, what can you do to enlarge? What areas can you enlarge? You know, maybe it's going to be, you know, listening to certain teachings, and that's going to help you enlarge. Maybe it's starting to read things you haven't read in a while, and that's going to help you to enlarge. Maybe it's changing some associations, and you found yourself, you know, look around your inner circle of friends, and they're all about the same level you are. And if you don't have some people that are on a different level, you're not growing. You're stagnating. So you have to have friends that you're reaching down to. You have to have friends that you're comfortable with at your level. But you also have to have friends that are pulling you up to a higher level. And so some of you choose to do that. Maybe come and join us in Hawaii.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Our Hawaii event is different. And I'm not plugging it. I just...
No, plug it.
Oh, okay. 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 God showed me that one of the greatest vacuums in the church today is ministry to the marketplace people. And I believe churches, every church should be having meetings and asking, how could I better minister to marketplace people and reach out to them? Because they bring a foundation financially. They give a creativity to a church. It can come from no other way. They're used to finding other people. The cause growth is because they talk about where they are and what they believe in. And so we try to create that for people in a few days. We do 4 to 7 speakers a day. But you're done at 1 o'clock. Because if you're in Hawaii, you're going to enjoy Hawaii. We have spiritual speakers. Our speakers is next year. We have some great lineup. Jensen Franklin, Matthew Barnett, and John Bevere. I think that's a pretty good lineup. Yeah. But then we have business people and people, health people, marriage people from different walks of life that share. And so it's going to be at the Grand Wale. It's the middle of March. You want information on it, you can go to increase.org. Really wanted to deposit with you today because I recognize the level of leadership in this room. That you don't need a whole lot of teaching on friends and listening and things like that. Although I really do believe that as leaders, we have to be very careful what we allow in our eyes and our ears. I remember the first meeting I ever did with Zig Ziglar. It was in Sheraton Waikiki Hotel. And I heard him say something that became a life principle for me. He said, if you don't like the output, go back and change the input. It's so simple, but we deal so much with wrong output without going back to say, what's the input? If we change the input, the output becomes automatic. It's the key to successfully raising children. Watch the input. The output's going to be okay. But as leaders, we have to watch what we see. Carefully guard what we're allowing to come into our eyes. Carefully watch what we're allowing to come into our ears, because that's going to determine our future. and the generations that follow us. But what I wanted to challenge you to do today is not just grow mentally, but to grow spiritually. It's so easy to have our spiritual experience become something routine. Something we do. We go to the gym 3 times a week. We go to church on Sunday. We do this study. And it becomes part of a routine. And we lose the freshness of what we once had. And we lose the strength and the presence of what we once had. But see, as we increase spiritually, there's ideas that God can reveal to us. There's strategies that can... When I took that, you don't know the story of the dealership, but basically I had a leasing company. I took a car in to get service. The owner of the dealership was in the drive-in. In a conversation, he told me he called Chrysler that morning to close the store. And when he found out I had a record-breaking month, in the same month he had his worst month ever, he offered to give me 22% ownership if I'd come and try and turn around the dealership. That's how I got the opportunity. But I didn't know what to do. I hadn't run a dealership before. This dealership had 50 employees. I had 3. It was a total different mindset. But I got a strategy that worked miraculously. Where did I get it? I didn't get it making phone calls. I didn't get it in books. I got it on my knees. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. But you spoke to Daniel. And you revealed to Daniel secrets and strategies, and you can do it to me. And God began to show me, do this, do this, do this. And that's what worked. Because I didn't rely just on the natural. I went to the spiritual. If you're not already doing it, I would strongly encourage you, before you watch the news, before you get the paper or whatever you do, put on some praise music in the morning. And just begin to bring his presence into your life. And if you're going through the day and there's tension and there's confusion, cut it out and put on some praise music and just start praising and thanking God. Good. Good. Where praise come, increase is the result. Yeah. And start practicing his presence. Increase his presence greater than ever before. And if you'll do that, I can guarantee you, you're going to start getting some fresh ideas, some fresh strategies. God's going to set up divine appointments for you. You're going to just be out in the marketplace, and all of a sudden you meet a person and it results in some deal or something happening that you weren't expecting. Your life's going to take on a whole different dimension. If instead of God's presence being something that you experience on Sunday and try and get enough to go to the next Sunday, you keep it alive and fresh in you every day. But not only that, his presence isn't just about what we get. His presence is about what we can give. Because when we have his presence, our steps are going to be directed. And we're not going to just be at the right place to get a blessing. We're going to be at the right place to give a blessing. God's going to strategically start placing us where he wants us, and we're going to become like angels, like ambassadors of his, where he says, there's a need here, and he arranges for us to meet at that need and make a difference in somebody's life. Maybe even save somebody's life. Instead of being an observer, we can be a changer of that situation. Because we don't come in just with the natural. We come in with the power of the supernatural. Right. And we can make a difference in that situation. John, you came out with a series in a book a few years ago on honor. That is one of the greatest teaching. And I would like you to do at least one session on it this next year in Hawaii. Yeah. Because we get so wrapped up in what's new and fresh, and we fail to look at the foundation that caused it to get there and to honor those pioneers that caused it to happen in the first place. And when I caught that book, I said, who's been the pioneers of my life that's really impacted me? And one of them was a man named Ralph Wilkerson. Ralph Wilkerson got an idea. All you need sometimes is an idea, and it can change people's lives. He was in ministry. And it was the beginning of this wave when people in traditional churches were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lutherans, Presbyterians, Episcopalians. And they didn't know what to do once they got the experience. Their churches wouldn't accept them, and they didn't feel they fit into the Pentecostal churches. And they were like people in no man's land. And Ralph said, what if I start a church, and I bring in the traditions that they're used to, but I keep the power of the Holy Spirit? So he starts this church in Anaheim with 40 people and a 10-person choir who wore robes, choir robes, and hymnals. And he kept the best of what they were used to. See, if you want to get win somebody over, start with what's familiar with them. Right. And so that church grew. And I was a part of that growth. From 40 people to 6,000 people in 1 year. It became really in the cutting edge church of what's the independent mega churches today. They were unknown back then. And it had such an incredible influence on so many people's lives. The television equipment of Melodyland was loaned to somebody named Paul Crouch to start a television station, which became the Trinity Broadcasting Network. I mean, just so many great things that happened. And so after I read Honor, I said, I'm just going to do my best to honor that man any way I can for his input into my life, input into Sharon's life. In 1969, she became co-producer of their Eastern Christmas musicals. And sometimes on weekends, 25, 30,000 people coming to the musicals, flying angels and animals and all these kind of things taking place. And the church bought a theater in the round across the street from Disneyland that went bankrupt, a 3,000-seat church. And it was named Melodyland. And they kept that name Melodyland. And so on Ralph's birthday in particular, we like to do something for him. Last year, we did a big luncheon for him. This year, I did something more informal. We invited some of our elite partners, and a few days ago, actually last Tuesday, we took Ralph out to lunch and just honored him and thanked him, and each of us brought a gift, birthday gift for him, just to say thank you so much for your life. But I want to end with this story because it shows the importance of spiritual power and how you have to be carrying it with you. It can't be something you say, oh my goodness, here's an emergency or here's an opportunity, I got to go get it. No, you have to carry it. My dad was a great theologian. He was had double doctorate degrees, a very educated person. For 13 years, he was president of a school that's now called Vanguard University in Southern California. He became the first executive secretary of the Full Gospel Businessman and helped them grow and set up in their early years of stage, became head of a National Association of Christian Teachers. And while doing that, he got a phone call from Oral Roberts. And he said, I'm opening up a university in Tulsa, and I want you to come and help me with this university. I want you to go out and find faculty for me. I want you to help create the curriculum in the Graduate School of Theology. Will you move from California to Tulsa and come and help me? And my parents loved California. They loved Newport Beach. They loved being involved at Christian Center. But they felt this was what they needed to do. And so my dad came back, and 8 months before the school was opened, he started traveling around, recruiting faculty, setting up curriculum. And while they're building the buildings, he's trying to build it so there's people going to be there to make a difference. I remember Easter that year, my dad said to me, I feel like my whole life has been a preparation for this next opportunity. Right. But see, sometimes when you're on the verge of something great, that's when your greatest attacks are going to come. And that happened to my dad. I got a phone call and said, Bob, your dad's had a heart attack. He's been rushed to Hogue Hospital in Newport Beach. We raced over there and we got there. And shortly afterwards, we were out in the waiting room. Pastor Wilkerson shows up. He says, where's Doc? We said, he's in the emergency room. He goes through the emergency room and here's the scene that he saw. There's a nurse there. She's got a sheet over her arm. My dad is there. His body is lifeless. They've already unplugged the life support system. The doctors are already away from the body. And that's the scene that Ralph sees. And the nurse is startled when she sees the pastor walk in. She said, sir, you're not allowed in here. Don't you see the no admittance sign in their door? He said, oh, you don't understand. I'm his pastor. I came to see Dr. Harrison. She said, well, I'm sorry. It's too late to see him. If you want to see somebody, go out and minister. When I came to minister to Dr. Harrison. If you want to minister to somebody, go out and minister to the family. He didn't turn around and walk back to the lobby because he carried that spiritual power in him. And it was there at that moment when it needed to be there. And out of his mouth, he said to her, I did not come here to see the dead. I came here to minister life. And he walked past her and he walked over to my dad's body and he said, in the name of Jesus, I command life to come back. By his stripes you are healed. And my dad opened his eyes and said, where am I? And my dad went on to be the first teacher of the Holy Spirit in the Now course at Oral Roberts University. Among his students is a man named Kenneth Copeland. And then he returned to Anaheim and founded a whole new concept of taking Sunday school on Sunday and doing it at nights for leaders. And it had 2,000 class enrollments in Melody School of the Bible. He became a person that became part of starting a conference and coined this word called charismatic, named after a Buick transmission cruise-matic going from one gear to another. And his life was impactful. Why? Because one person stayed spiritually strong, not knowing when they needed to use that power, not knowing when it needed to be put out, but they carried it with them. And because they carried it with them, it was there to make a difference in somebody's life. And so I just want to challenge you today. Increase mentally for yourself, for your family, to make a bigger difference in other people's lives, but also increase spiritually. Because as you increase in prayer power, as you increase that anointing, as you practice his presence and live to the best of your ability in a way that he's pleased with being with you, then your life is going to take on a whole different dimension. And I can absolutely guarantee you, when you come back here next year, you're going to have testimonies of dramatic increase. Oh, Father, I just thank you right now. I just pray for this incredible group of leaders, Lord, this group of givers. But Father, I just pray for a fresh anointing of increase to be released into their life. Increase in finances, increase in health, Lord, increase in their businesses, increase in every area, spiritually, in every area of their life. And we just pray a prayer of blessing over them right now. Bless them in their coming in and going out, in the city, in the field. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. And be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time.